include a visit from the Badgers outsider and a very special game of Did You Hear This? The Wisconsin Notre Dame edition. But first, a certain member of our panel has said a few times that this team is stacked. That's why, despite not having a five-time All-Pro available to play left tackle.
Can I ask you this before you get into, you know, Elgton Jenkins and his ankle injury? How many Pro Bowl All-Pro players do you want on a roster for it to not be stacked?
I'm not criticizing you.
No. I'm being serious because, you know, typically if you have five Pro Bowl players, you got a pretty doggone good roster. If you have eight, which is what I believe they had last year, is eight.
Right, with two snubs.
And that's not even counting Mason Crosby, who's never made a Pro Bowl, which is ridiculous. Didn't miss a kick last year, a field goal last year. So you're looking at 11 or 12 Correct. Spots that are Pro Bowl caliber players. And y'all are talking to me like I'm crazy when I say this roster stacked. Goody flipped this roster, and if any of y'all don't want to buy into that, that's on you. He has done a fantastic job of bringing in a lot of good talent, period.
That's true.
Thank you.
I will give you that.
Thank you.
But as you well know.
Yes.
As you well know, having not been a Pro Bowler yourself.
That's what I've heard.
Ron Wolf thinks you were.
Well,
which I think is really all that matters. But as you well know, it's the guys that aren't Pro Bowlers that also have a major impact on whether your team is good.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's great if you, let's say you've got Elgton Jenkins and David Bakhtiari, both Pro Bowl selections, on your offensive line.
Yep.
But even when Elgton Jenkins was playing and David Bakhtiari wasn't in the NFC Championship game, the guys who weren't Pro Bowlers had a pretty big impact on the outcome of the game, right? I mean, Billy Turner and Rick Wagner were not good enough for them to win the game.
Was Aaron Rodgers good enough that game to win the game?
No, and there he's a Pro Bowler. So you can be stacked and still not be good enough.
Was Za'Darius Smith, right? Preston Smith, were they good enough? Were they as impactful on defense as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defensive line was? No.
I have not seen either one of them play in an NFC Championship game at this point.
Who?
I think they both did. The Smiths. Did they play in the two NFC Championship games that the Packers lost?
San Fran, I'm not even going to go back to San. I'm talking last year when they should have been a Super Bowl team.
Yeah, they were not. My point is, they were non-factors.
Jason, so
in
to your
both
point,
of those
like
NFC
the role players,
games.
I get that. Your studs got to be studs when the money's on the table. That's why they're studs. Coach would always say, big-time players play big in big-time games. That's what your formula is. And they didn't last year. They had opportunity after. Jaire Alexander did. He's the depoy last year. Aaron Jones did not. Aaron Rodgers did not. So you can get all this other stuff. That's where it comes down. That's what it comes down to.
Well, they're as stacked as they may be. They're 1-1, and they're going into San Francisco, Santa Clara, where there's a distinct possibility they will emerge 1-2, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Stacked though they may be, so it's not just about being stacked. But no one disagrees with your premise. My point is that my biggest question about this team was not its stacked nature, but whether those stackers could stay healthy. Because this team has been very fortunate from an injury perspective until December 31st, 2020. And then David Bakhtiari tore his ACL.
Yep.
And now Za'Darius Smith has whatever this back injury is. And now Elgton Jenkins, whose mere presence allowed Packers coaches and players alike to say, it's okay we don't have a five-time All-Pro at left tackle because we have Elgton.
Yeah.
If you ain't got Elgton, now you're in trouble.
Yes. Obviously, especially when you got Bosa and San Fran is salty. That's a salty crew up front. They're going to get after Indeed. Old boy. But I think you can weather the storm, and that's where what Goody has done, bringing in Dennis Kelly, who you probably don't know much about him. I think he is a big, strong dude that can play right tackle. Throw Billy Turner over at left tackle, and you can get by a game or two in that circumstance if you have to. Y'all act as if Billy Turner stinks and you can't play left tackle. That's what y'all are telling me. I don't buy that.
I don't think Billy Turner is a real good left tackle. I don't. If they felt that good about him, they wouldn't have moved Elgton Jenkins, right?
Not if they think Elgton Jenkins is a Hall of Fame trajectory player, which they do, and he's talented and can do it. You put your best out there. He's better than Billy Turner. That's not an indictment of Billy Turner. That is an excitement of Elgton Jenkins. You can use that.
I don't think I'm going to use that. So you think Billy Turner will be fine at left tackle if he has to play on Sunday?
Oh, no. That's not what I'm saying. This is like I just told you. This is a salty group. You're asking me if Tampa was salty. They beat us up when we were down in Tampa, and then obviously beat us up front in the NFC Championship game. They're really good fronts, and you want to have your best. Unfortunately, Green Bay is not going to have their best, but y'all act as if Billy Turner can't play, and he can.
So wait a minute now, because let's use you as an example.
I didn't play left tackle. I got 10 snaps at left tackle. I'm not asked to go block Bosa on the edge.
You were a fantastic right tackle. Ron Wolf thinks you were a Pro Bowler. You were really good. Billy Turner, I don't know how good he is. I would argue that he's not as good of a right tackle as you were, based on what we've seen from him. Really struggled his first year, by the way, in this offense in 2019.
I said he struggled his first year, but then I thought he bounced back. You're also asking Billy Turner to play every – they're trying to Elgton Jenkins him. He ain't Elgton Jenkins, guys.
Then there play is, Yosh Nyman.
So, Jason, there is – maybe that'll be Yosh. I don't know if they're going to put Yosh out there.
Don't put the kibosh on Yosh.
But you can't just assume raved. I know myself have raved about Elgton Jenkins and the fact I have you never have. Met anybody. Mike Flanagan is probably the closest that can play center, can play right tackle, can be an all-pro at left guard, and then slop out to left tackle and just go play ball. That is not normal. To ask Billy Turner to be a right guard, then up, throw you over to right tackle, up, we need you to go play left tackle. That is not, it's not just bewitched, snap your fingers, wiggle your nose, and go fly over.
Bewitched!
Yeah, I heard somebody say that yesterday, and I laughed, so I thought I'd get that into today's show.
Well done.
Thanks.
Billy Turner has been at right tackle all 2021. That's the only place they worked him. He maybe took a handful of snaps elsewhere, but he was almost invariably at right tackle, which is what you were.
Okay.
I'm just saying that the idea of I don't think I'm besmirching his reputation to say that the Packers' offensive line is better if Billy Turner doesn't have to play left tackle.
No, Sherlock. Who said any different? Nobody said any different. You're making
it sound like they're going to be okay.
No, I didn't. But hey, you have
to get through a game or two. You got Dennis Kelly. He's a big, strong guy
I've never seen before.
Okay, and he's great.
Jason, okay, here's Wilde. Hey, guys, Elgton Jenkins can't play. Let's not even get on a flight. We're not even going to go play. Let's do the Minnesota bit from last year.
Speech.
You know what? I don't even want to play these guys because we might lose the axe. Look at you two numbskulls sitting there saying, don't even get on the plane if you don't have Elgton Jenkins. Hey, guys, they're going to put a starting lineup out there. I'm telling you, I think the best option, move Billy Turner, bring in the big fella to play right tackle until Elgton Jenkins can play. Period. Y'all want to just quit? Oh, be done with it. Nope, we don't need it. What? That is... You guys are frustrating when you get in this mood.
Can we snap our fingers, wiggle our nose, and go bewitched and come up with a new option at corner instead?
I mean, I never once said, boy, just this is going to be fantastic that Elton, we're fine, don't worry about it, Elton Jenkins ain't playing. It's a huge loss, but you're still going to go play and compete? Like, are you kidding me?
Jesse, I don't want to make your life a living hell, but I want you to go back and get the way that this guy described Billy Turner and how they could get through the next couple of games without him. If they have him at left tackle, do the Packers win or lose? If you had to put money that meant something to you on Sunday night's game, if Elton Jenkins doesn't play, would you bet the Packers straight up to win the game?
I'm not sure I'm betting the Packers with Elton Jenkins. So, listen, obviously left tackle's an important spot. It's on the coaches to figure out, okay, hey, we can't just sit there and say, Elton's out there, we're going to just let Bosa run around. You have to game plan. And coaches have to say, you know what, hey, this isn't going to be as easy. We can't just say it's David Bakhtiari, Elton Jenkins, lockdown, go. You got to put some chips in. You got to put some nudges in, bumps, whatever it is to slow people down and help a left tackle that's not as good as Elton Jenkins. That's my point. You don't just throw in the towel and say, to heck with it, we'll take a loss and take the week off. Like, it's just not how it works.
Yeah, I don't remember anyone suggesting that they were taking the week off. But be that as it may, it led to one of the all-time great insult words. I love numbskull. Like, that is a fantastic put-down word.
You better like that than moron, better than nitwit? How about idiot? Nitwit?
I personally am a fan of imbecile.
That's a good one. Yeah?
But numbskull, you two numbskulls.
Numbskull's pretty fun. Good. Idiot seems strong. Like that, I feel like that maybe is too hurtful. Buffoon? Buffoon.
Would you rather be an imbecile, a numbskull, or a buffoon?
I'm going to vote buffoon in that poll.
I think I'm going to take numbskull.
I think I'd rather hang out with a buffoon.
Buffoons, because you just get a feeling a buffoon's fun. Like, yeah, they're idiots, but you're gonna have some good laughs.
Right, yeah.
You know buffoon. Who's a buffoon?
I don't.
Well, if you don't know who the buffoon is, maybe you should tell us about Coors Light.
Oh, I don't. As good as your transition game was yesterday.
What?
I didn't want to call you a buffoon on the radio.
But what is the best is Coors Light, brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it is made to chill. The mountains on Coors Light cold activated bottles and cans turn baby blue when chilled to perfection. That's why it's Coors Light. When I need a moment to chill, it's always Coors Light in my hand. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
A special edition of Did You Hear This as we get ready for Wisconsin-Notre Dame. I'm hoping that I'll also hear Tausch not calling us numbskulls, but praising the potential of one Billy Turner at left tackle. That's all still ahead. Stick around. It's Wolde and Tausch.
No, I'm not. I get a kick out of you two. You guys gang up on me, and then you think you got the goods, and then when I ask you to play the goods, you don't got the goods.
I don't know if there's goods to be had. I don't know. But I came across the trailer for American Underdog, the Kurt Warner story.
Oh, I thought that maybe was like a Marvel movie.
I don't know if the playoff game that you guys played in where you had the two tackles is included in the film, so I don't know if anyone's playing you. You obviously played yourself both in a Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin ad and the 60-yard line, both to some acclaim, at least according to Murphy in the Morning. I'm just wondering, now, the 60-yard line, based on a true story?
Yes. Based. I would say loosely based.
And this is where my question is, because this is obviously the Kurt Warner story. There's going to be a Packers component, because obviously he was here for a period of time. They cut him after he didn't want to go into the huddle for a rep during practice. He wasn't ready, he said. He told Mooch that. So I don't know if that scene will be in the film either. But how much poetic license should there be in a biographical film?
Well, I mean, you have to make it interesting. So I don't have a problem with, like, some embellishment. I think every movie
I agree.
Made is embellished. So I think it's kind of baked into the cake. I don't think anybody's going to be shocked when they find out that it's not verbatim what Kurt Warner, how his life really was. So, yeah, entertain me.
Yeah, it's not a documentary. All right, correct. I agree. I shared the trailer. It looks good. It doesn't look like Lambeau Field. It appears that they may have shot the Green Bay portion of the film somewhere other than Green Bay. Let's play a little Did You Hear This?
Consider it the radio version of a conversation at the water cooler. It's time for Did You Hear This on Willie and Tausch.
The Wisconsin Notre Dame edition as the Badgers prepare to take on the Fighting Irish Saturday at Soldier Field. On the ESPN College Football Podcast, Kirk Herbstreit, part of the College Game Day crew, will be in Chicago Saturday morning. Here's what he had to say.
It's going to be a scene. You know, anytime you get an unusual setup like this, it's fun. You know, we've gone up to Lambeau. We've been over to Wrigley. Lambeau was cool because it was LSU and Wisconsin at Lambeau. And now you got Wisconsin and Notre Dame, two Chicago town lums that love the city. And so many of them are going to be embracing this game. We're going to have our tailgate right in the middle, or we'll have our set right in the middle of tailgating near the lake. It's just going to be a beautiful setup. So, yeah, we're fired up.
Wisconsin Notre Dame better at Soldier Field and Lambeau Field when they will play both of their games than if it was at Camp Randall and in South Bend? Tausch?
I really think Wisconsin fans would love to go down to South Bend. I think it's a missed opportunity. I get it. Lambeau Field, the Badger-LSU game, it was a bowl game. LSU came in full tilt. I was still surprised how much purple and yellow were in the building. It was it just a great atmosphere. But I think for Notre Dame, Scotty, I'd love to see a home and home. I would love to go down and play them in South Bend, get the fans that experience to go to the Grotto and to do all the Notre Dame things you do when you go down there, and then host them here. I really wish that was the way that went, but it'll still be cool. But it would be cooler to do a home and home, in my opinion.
Can Paul Christ win in front of Touchdown Jesus? Could they win on the road?
Why can't they?
South, isn't it? You're saying it's a missed opportunity for fans.
Yeah.
Isn't it hard to get tickets in a visiting stadium? You just made the point about Lambeau Field. There was a set aside number of tickets for LSU. I assume that was the case for Soldier Field, too. You've got a better chance of getting tickets to the game, don't you? If you're a Wisconsin fan? And if you're trying to get into...
You realize Soldier's Field is the smallest stadium in the NFL, right?
You realize that most Notre Dame tickets are probably sold to season ticket holders and you're buying on the secondary market, right?
You realize that Notre Dame has had a hard time selling out their tickets recently, right?
No, I did not realize
they have.
That.
Okay.
Really?
Yes.
I'm going to Google that along with
you realize
Gale,
that you can find Trump tickets ball. To get down to the Notre Dame game, right?
Did you hear this?
Do you realize this? It's a new game.
This might be a first, a daily double of Did You Hear This? See if you can spot the similarities in these answers. Earlier this week, Paul Christ and Graham Mertz talking about the quarterback battle between Jack Cohn leading the Irish and Graham Mertz leading the Badgers.
Certainly there's a storyline, and yet I think it's important that it's Wisconsin versus Notre Dame. Obviously, we have a respect for Jack, you know, and appreciate who he is as a person and a player here, and teammate, but it's Wisconsin versus Notre Dame.
I'm not lining up across the ball from every play. It's like Coach said, it's Wisconsin versus Notre Dame. I'm prepping for their defense. I'm not prepping to play them in a one-on-one basketball game. But obviously, if you know what it is, it's out there. But for me, it's just Wisconsin versus Notre Dame.
I heard it's Wisconsin versus Notre Dame this weekend.
It's a good sign. That's a good sign when you get your coach and your team all measured up saying the same thing. That means the messaging is getting through. Now, does that mean that Wisconsin's O-line can block Notre Dame's D-line at a pass rush? That'll help, too. Can they run the football as effectively as they did against Eastern Michigan? I don't know, Jimmy. So there's a lot of... the point is, and this is the same thing when Mahomes played Lamar Jackson or Rodgers playing Tom Brady, everybody says the right thing, but people love quarterbacks. They want to see that individual battle. We realize you're playing each other's defense, but it's your team. And I know Jason doesn't believe in quarterback win-loss, even though he cites it constantly and then backtracks off of it. It does matter. And this is the most interesting storyline because he was the quarterback. He leaves, and everybody is interested to see, did we make the right move? That is your storyline for that game on Saturday. And everybody knows it. The pressure is on. And yes, everybody as a team needs to come together to help make that job easier for Graham Mertz.
I thought the one-on-one basketball line was a good line by him. I am not going to dignify your revisionist history on quarterback wins with a response, but I am going to agree with you that the quarterback matchup, we're all lying if we say that Cohn versus Mertz is not the marquee. The guy who used to be here against the guy who took over for him, we're not imbeciles, we're not numbskulls, we all see that. Speaking of numbskulls, the only tickets available to Wisconsin Notre Dame on Ticketmaster are all resale tickets. So there are no actual face value tickets available.
I'm talking about down, like Notre Dame when they're playing Army and some of these other teams.
No.
They had a hard time selling out at Notre Dame.
I believe you, yes.
You said it's going to be difficult for Wisconsin fans to get tickets at Notre Dame. And I said, yeah, it would be, but it's not impossible. And the fact that you're going to host.
Yes. You also said you realize you can get tickets to the game on Saturday.
That is not what I said. Play the tape. I didn't say this Saturday. I said down at Notre Dame in a home and home, which is what I'm advocating for.
Did you hear this?
You've been wrong a lot today.
ESPN college football analyst.
You realize that, right?
Booger McFarland, also on the college football
podcast. You definitely said tickets are available for this game.
I didn't say this game. I did.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
Whoa, Nelly!
Yeah, you did.
Rate this analogy, Tausch.
Think about the emotion of this game. Jack Cohn, former Wisconsin quarterback, going against his old team. Remember the first time that you went back home, or maybe you were at the class reunion and you saw the girl that you used to date, and it's different feelings. So how well does Jack Cohn handle those feelings?
Like going back to the high school reunion and seeing the girl you used to date. From Booger McFarland. 1 to 10, Tausch, how good is it?
That's not bad. I'd say it's like a 7 or 8. Boog's trying. He's throwing some stuff out there. There is no doubt emotions are going to be high for Jack because I think he is really well-liked in that Badger locker room and has a bunch of teammates that I think admire and are thankful for what he gave them when he was their quarterback. So I think this is it's a pretty good analogy. It is going to be important for him to control his emotions because he's now got his new gal that he's walking in with, and he wants to show everybody else, hey, I'm doing just fine.
Doesn't it matter how you feel about the new gal that impacts how you feel about the old girlfriend at the reunion? Like if you feel like you upgraded, then
you're still going to be a little bit. Anytime you get stung, you'll still be a little bit hurt. Don't you think?
That's probably fair. We will play. We will talk to the Badgers outsider. Wonder if he ever went to a reunion and came across an old flame. He seemed like kind of a ladies' man.
I think he's too young. I don't even know if he's had a class reunion yet.
Ooh. Well, we'll find out together as the Badgers Outsider joins us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
The Badgers Outsider on Wilde and Tausch. He's brought to you by PDS, providing IT solutions and transforming IT for area companies for over 30 years. Find what solutions they can offer you at PDSIT.net.
Music means the Badgers are coming out of the tunnel, and the Badgers outsider is coming out of the Wilde and Tausch visitors tunnel. Brought to you by PDS IT, the first name in IT solutions.
PDS has been providing technology solutions and transforming IT for area companies for over 30 years. PDS is giving today's worker the true ability to work from anywhere as they balance work and life. PDS wants to be your trusted partner in driving success with enterprise solutions, digital workplace platforms, and managed services that fit your needs. PDS, Paragon Development Systems.
Derek, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good morning. Hey, I'm fired up for the big game. It's exciting to be this time of year with all the crap going on with COVID. It's a good escape to be focusing in on the Cone versus Mertz, the one and only time it's going to happen matchup.
Derek, no. I just heard Paul Christ. I heard Graham Mertz both say it's not about that matchup. It's about playing the defense.
That is all this is about. That is all this is about. It's a great storyline. It's horrendous. Horrendous. If they make this a neutral site game with this kind of storyline, an 11 a.m. kickoff on Saturday, I can't even describe and articulate how disappointed I am in that. But this is about Jack Cohn coming out and trying to put the big middle finger at the University of Wisconsin and their big five-star recruit. I don't care if they're friends. I don't care if the terms were good when he left. I don't care if he broke his foot. And that's the reason we want to talk about for why Graham ascended. But it's clear, it is clear, he didn't feel real welcome. And it's also clear that it was a little bit of puffery as far as how ready Mertz was to take over this program. And we're going to find out a lot Saturday at the crappy 11 a.m. time slot.
Puffery.
Derek, wow. coming in a bit hot today.
Well, I'm excited about the matchup. And I tell you what, I've thought about it. I've done my analysis. I think we're going to have a real problem in the passing game with the safety Kyle Hamilton. I remember I watched the first Notre Dame game this year. Kid ran all the way across the field and broke up a pass downfield. So we're going to need to run the ball. We're going to need to run the ball and successfully, or we got big problems dealing with Kyle Hamilton back there. And I don't know if we've got the passing game to get around it. So my analysis is I don't know why the spread is 6.5 right now, the Badgers favored. I mean, Notre Dame, I think they're looking good coming into this game.
So wait a minute. You saw Kyle Hamilton, last name Hamilton. He ran down the field and made one play against 0-3 Florida State in the first game, and your analysis says he's a problem?
Yes. If you saw the play and you know what I'm talking about, and you see him described in other media reports, I've seen him on the field. Look, we had this problem when we played against Josh Jackson in Iowa. I've got some really good defensive backs. When we get in, if this is a close game, which it's going to be, we're going to shorten it up in the first half. We're going to run the ball and run the ball and run the ball again. We get into the third quarter where we either have to come back from adversity or protect the lead, and we get into some of these passing situations. I guarantee it on the program today, you're going to see Kyle Hamilton make a difference, and it's going to be nasty and cause us some problems where we have some injuries with Hicks possibly being out, Wilder possibly being out. I think we might have trouble running with Austin Davis on the other side of the ball. And with Jack Cohn and the grit that he's shown, just see a little edge there. And that's why that's where my analysis took me. I had to follow the facts.
Derek, a couple things. One, I think Kyle Hamilton picked off that pass that you're talking about. I don't know if he broke. I think he had two interceptions.
Do you remember the play?
I do. He comes all the way from like the right side of the field to intercept the ball on the left sideline. The way the defense is looking, it was crazy. I remember the broadcast. They made a really big deal out of how far he came. I did want to know though, since you're so hyped up for the Jack Cohn matchup with Graham Mertz, do you think the Wisconsin Badgers would be better in 2021 if Jack Cohn was their quarterback?
Yes.
Okay. I agree.
Clear.
I agree.
And I'll tell you this. There's one way out of this. And I think we're going to see it. And I'm excited at the possibility is that we're going to have to see Graham Mertz use his feet to get first downs on third down. If third five, third and six, look for him to pull the ball down and try to run for some first downs in the second half of the game. He's going to have to start using his feet.
So my follow-up question, if I may.
Yes, sorry.
Had Jack Cohn stayed and been the starter this year, would Graham Mertz be in the transfer portal?
You know, I wonder how much information is shared between programs. So, in other words, does someone dial him up and pull him in, or does he push away from the program and go off on his own? I tend to think with where he is that he would not have gone into the transfer portal. That's just my gut feeling because I see where he is in his journey, and I think he knows that he's got some limitations and how he feels when he gets over the ball. I don't think he's a guy that says, I need opportunities here. I feel great. I feel like I'm in total command of an offense, but I'm not getting my shot. I feel like he's in the, I still need to learn how to read the defenses. Well, he reads defense well, but I need to make reads and get down to my progression better. And I think that's more where he was. We would have bought ourselves another year with him, I think.
Yeah, I just, the reason I don't know Graham Mertz. He's been on the show once. I don't know him at all. I don't know what kind of mentality he has, but it would appear that a lot of young college football players, if things don't happen on their timeline, they go elsewhere. And I would certainly think that the Wolves would have been at the door had he not been starting this year, that there have been a lot of schools that would be perhaps even doing what the 49ers did with Aaron Rodgers and tampering a bit. What else, when you look at this matchup, I know you've broken down Kyle Hamilton extensively. What else is either concerning or encouraging to you as you get ready for this one?
Well, I'm concerned. You know, the Purdue running game is not great, but it kind of got shut down, and they weren't able to run the ball last week. So my big, I guess you could call it a concern or hope, is we're going to need to be able to run the ball from the start. I saw Malusi get caught from behind in the Eastern Michigan game. So he's going to get the bulk of the carries. But I really like Garendo to see more action because he can be the field tilter we need. We're going to need to score from anywhere on the field that's not within the 15-yard line or the red zone because we're struggling there. So I have concerns. What are we going to do differently in the red zone to be more effective and not make mistakes? You know, in the last game on the other side of the ball, the big tight end, Michael Mayer, only had one catch. Look for him to be more involved. And I think with Chenal coming back, Leo's coming back this game, there's some intrigue about some of those matchups might look at our ability to get to the quarterback. So there's just a lot of really interesting football questions in this game, aside from the main story. Like, I think it's really compelling TV, and I just don't know for sure what the outcome is. And that's why I kind of was surprised I landed that I thought Notre Dame was going to win and saw the point spread the other way.
Can you explain what the red zone is?
I think in college football, if you're in the like at the 20 or the 19, I think it's a totally different scenario than if you get down closer to the 10. Whereas for whatever reason, I view the NFL red zone as being the 20 and in, just because of some of the different limitations. And I always have thought I like to see some right to left football played down the goal line in college football because the defenses are slower. So there's some different kinds of plays you could run. So I. I kind of squeezed that down a little bit in my analysis of what the red zone is in different levels of football. It's a proprietary thing.
Why wouldn't you go with a different color other than just doubling red?
Like a burgundy zone, something like that.
Magenta zone.
Well, it's in process. We're in development. The whole Wilde and Towers family, we can develop the color scheme. But I just think it's different.
That's true. I'll say this. You mentioned the running game. I think that Wisconsin is feeling better. Obviously, Eastern Michigan is not on the same par as what we played Penn State and what we're going to see Saturday morning. But I think Garendo is going to see more because that home run hitting, biggest concern I had coming into the season, where the big play is going to come from. We saw one in that game. We're going to need to see more of that, I think, Saturday at 11.
Yeah, you're right. And when I looked at, I think, if we have time to let some of the plays that we could run that could work in that and be explosive develop, we will have some chances. I just don't know if the offensive line can hold up. And I mean a couple of things. One is running plays across the formation, meaning we're going to bring wide receivers across the face of linebackers and get depth. You see Ohio State run a lot of those kind of routes where it develops where the receiver will start to fly on the right and end up throwing a deeper ball over to the left. And also, we're going to involve running backs in the passing game earlier in this game than we've seen before because we should be scared to death of Kyle Hamilton back there, and we know we're going to need to throw the ball a little bit more often. So if they can let some plays where we can clear out the defense and bring in almost like a circle pass concept to our running backs and get them involved and get them the ball out in space, those are two things we're going to see. And I agree with you. Garendo is the guy we got that if he gets loose and he breaks that tackle in level two, he can score. Everybody else, I think, is going to get caught from behind or whatnot. So we're going to see more of him. I think if we have anything that's kind of a secret weapon in this game, it's probably going to be him. If he has a big day, it could change the narrative completely.
Boy, you love Kyle Hamilton, don't you? Love him. You've been doing this 3 years, and you have never spoke this much or this glowingly about an opposing player as you have today.
Except for last name Roberson for Wake Forest. He was on him.
He was on Roberson, but not like he's on Hamilton.
Guys, in the way that Graham is reading leverage at the snap, and I see the dependence on Ferguson, and that's all on tape. And these guys know when his head goes to the right, he's going to pass to the, now you've cut the field in half, and he's going to have a bias to come back to his tight end. And there's just key points in the game where you think you've got a window, you think you're open, but you got a player, and all of a sudden, uh-oh, this guy's going to come off of whatever else he was doing, and he's going to come and pick. And I just know it. I can feel it. I can see the way the game's going to develop because you know how this is going to go. Based on personnel, that it's going to be play out a certain way, and it's going to come down to key passes in the third quarter and the start of the fourth, where Cohen is going to have two or three opportunities to throw a deep ball, and we're going to have opportunities where we need to pick up third downs and throw the ball, you know, in that 15 yards and farther, where I think it's a real danger zone for us. I think it's an opportunity zone for Cohen.
A lot of zones, a lot of Hamiltons. Are you picking Wisconsin to get beat this weekend?
Yes, I'm taking Notre Dame by 3.
Okay. Interesting.
I think you're going to see a little bit higher scoring game. The fourth quarter could see some fireworks. Because I just think, guys, if we get behind, if we're down 7 at the end of the third quarter and things are going Notre Dame's way, I don't really see any potential for us to swing the pendulum at that point for a lot of the things you've talked about, Tosh. I just don't see the explosive plays coming. I see it more likely coming out of Notre Dame in a tight game. Especially with grit. Jack Cohn brings grit. This game will come down to who's tougher, who wants it more, who wants to prove the point, and has not had errors in execution like the Badgers have had in the red zone. Hopefully they can resolve them, but until they prove it, I just think this is, for whatever reason, my gut tells me Notre Dame wins this game. Mm.
Derek Blakeslee, our Badgers outsider, who loves Kyle Hamilton more than Jesse loves Matt Hamilton. And as much as he loves Kyle Hamilton, he hates the 11 o'clock kickoff. Derek, thanks, buddy.
On Wisconsin, I'm still cheering for the Badgers. We'll hopefully get it done.
What a way to end it.
Well, that was thoroughly broken down. He really broke down.
Notre Dame by 3 on Wisconsin.
No. I think he's got Notre Dame by more than three. I think he's got Notre Dame by double digits. But, hey, on Wisconsin, eh?
More next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
To the Kyle Hamilton show. Derek likes Kyle Hamilton a little bit.
Scared of him for sure.
Sounds like we might like Kyle Hamilton in Green Bay next year.
Got a lot of range.
Nah, we're got stacked at safety. We don't need it.
That's what I've heard. So thanks to Derek. Always fun to have him. That was a thorough breakdown. I never got to ask him why he hates the 11 o'clock start so passionately.
He can't make his chili. His beans don't get to fester as much.
His beans don't get to fester.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to roll right past that. He did say to me off the air, like, if you have kids and you got to take them to soccer, if you got to run to the grocery store, all the stuff you would normally do as a responsible adult on a Saturday early afternoon. It does kind of stink. I understand it.
Where is the Badgers Outsiders' priorities? That's the question. Seems like
with the Badgers or with his family? How dare he?
Yeah.
Does he have soccer playing kids? Because that I would agree that that is a start time that creates conflicts with your other activities. If you're
conflict is good. That's what I've always been.
I don't know if he said that about scheduling.
No, he did. Conflict is good.
Well, we hope Derek can work out his scheduling conflicts and enjoy Wisconsin-Notre Dame. That is an 11 o'clock kickoff from Soldier Field, where there are tickets available on the secondary market per Ticketmaster. We will kick off the 11 o'clock hour with Aaron Rodgers with some of his thoughts this week about the media. Not, of course, Tausch, because he's not in the media. Sure. And some other thoughts from the quarterback as well. Plus, we'll be joined by Brian D. live from Whistling Straits and the Ryder Cup. That's all still ahead in 2 minutes. It's Wilde and Tausch.